What is kairos again?
The opportune time, a time of favor. Amen? So God has declared for us, amen, in this church, in this ministry, and those who follow this ministry, amen, the year, the kairos year of right time, right place. The testimonies you heard just now are just a few of them that we have received of right time, right place. I'm still receiving it. And I'm sure that many of you have experienced this. You bump into people and, you know, I see whoever I bump into, by the way, outside, and I go out a lot, okay? If I bump into them, I know that God has something for them. I know we are supposed to meet. You know, I bump into more than one person that watches online. So you know what I say, right? Join us, come on. This is a personal invitation. The Lord sent me to you. Of all the people I could have met, I met you, you know? All right. We could have been like, Singapore is small, but hey, it's not that small. We can get lost. Even you try to meet someone, it's hard. Right? Sometimes you give a location, you can still lose each other. And to bump into one another, come on, it's a sign to you. Amen? So, whatever happens in our lives, as believers, this is not true for the world. That's why the Kairos year and all that, please don't start projecting this into the world, into the world situation and the politics of the world and the happenings of the world. God is talking about His people in His kingdom. Amen. The church. And the church, again, when I say the church, always learn to replace that, not with a building, but with a many-membered safe souls out of every nation, out of every race. Amen. Out of every part of the world. Amen. This is the church of Jesus Christ, the greatest organization, the dream of the Father's heart, the Father and His family. Amen. Amen. So this is something that I want you to know is in God's heart. And for you, this is your inheritance. Every Kairos moment, He'll make things beautiful in your life. Not only that, we reap. We've been sowing, we've been doing a lot of things, but we see that there's no harvest, it seems. Amen? We do it for Him, nonetheless, right? But we want the harvest as well, because harvest meets our needs. We have plenty left over to meet the needs of others. Am I right? But when will we reap? The Bible tells us in Galatians 6, very clearly, that let us not be weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We don't lose heart. Now notice, when will we reap? In due season. Do you know in due season is one word in the Greek? Kairos. Kairos. When will we reap? In Kairos. When will God make things beautiful in your life? In His Kairos. Amen. We want to live in that Kairos place. I said we want to live in that Kairos place. Amen. As much as possible. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about good days and evil days, right? Right? Am I right? Like, for example, Ephesians 6, he said, put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. In the evil day. The definite article, evil day. Day is singular. I love it because the Bible says in more than one place, Old Testament and New Testament, that quotes the Old Testament saying, for he that will love life and see good days. Plural. So good days are plural for God's people. Evil day. Good days. Evil day. So we all go through an evil day or an evil season even. But whatever afflictions you go through, it is only for a season. People talk about Job's sufferings and all that. It's about 9 months, scholars tell us. About 9 months. Less than a year. Amen. And God gave him double all that he lost. Right? It's good days are upon you. But you say, but every time I look at the news and all that, you know, like evil days, Pastor, again, you're projecting into the world. And not only that, it's worse, you are taking from the world and putting it into your life. Now, I'm not against people watching all these things, but if you don't watch the Word and you're watching, you're not reading the Word or spending time in the Word and you are looking at all these things, no wonder you're depressed. No wonder you're fearful. No wonder you no longer have the helmet of salvation, hope of salvation, because hope means a positive expectation of good in your future. Watch your mind, watch your thoughts. And then when you are depressed, when you are then you are very easily irritated. You don't mean to be irritated with your spouse, but you are irritated because you are worried. Your spouse doesn't know that. So your spouse responds to your irritation, and then you get more irritated because he doesn't understand. Then he doesn't understand why you don't understand. He's trying to be understanding. Then you get irritated. All the while, the problem goes free because the problem is actually your worry and your care. See, all these things that the Bible teaches us makes for a successful, beautiful, wonderful life. He makes things beautiful in His time. Amen. If you are a person who is not easily irritated, for example, and the Bible says, pray this prayer. Paul prays this prayer. Listen, you know what prayer prays? He said that to be strengthened, I pray for you all that you be strengthened with all might by your spirit. Wow. That sounds like there might be something, a purpose for this. There must be something powerful that you'll be able to accomplish. Maybe performing signs and wonders and miracles in the lives of people. Maybe that's it. But no. Why strengthened with all might? With all might by yours, by God's Spirit. You pray that prayer. It says, strengthened with all might by His Spirit unto all endurance. This is adverse circumstances. And not only that, and patience with joy. Patience is towards people. With joy. Wow, that part. I've been praying this prayer, no? Some parts I get. The joy part, I haven't got. Still working on it. Sometimes I'm joyful, sometimes I'm not. That means what? Endurance towards adverse circumstances and patience towards difficult people. With joy. It only happens when the Holy Spirit strengthens you with all might. Amen? Me and Pastor Mark have problems on the road still. We both have confessed to you our sins. Have you confessed yours? Amen? I speak on the road. I don't know why. Everyone else is driving wrong. Except me, right? We have this attitude. And one good way the Lord has taught me also, and perhaps it's a manifestation of that prayer. I pray this prayer every day, you know. And the more I pray this prayer, the more I encounter these people on the road. So isn't it a safe way for the Lord to train us? Every time there's a moment to be irritated. So He wants you to be a cool person. He wants you to be a peaceful person. He wants you to live long. Because now science would tell you that if you are someone who is highly stressed and always very hurried, a type A, you know, temperament, and most likely you might end up with a heart attack. It's proven now that these are the type of people that end up with heart attacks, with disease, heart disease, and all kinds of cardiovascular problems. It's proven. The ones who are slow, amen? Jesus' speed is always like, slow and slower. Amen. Imagine someone's daughter has died. He turned to the father on the way there. And he stopped because a woman touched the hem of his garment and got healed, right? So he talked to the woman on the way to raise Jairus' daughter who was dying. He got time to stop and turn around. You know what I'll do? Another time, another place, okay? Wrong time, wrong place. All right, I'll go down there. You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't laugh like y'all be the same, right? Amen? But Jesus, there is like, He knows the Father will make everything beautiful in His time. He follows the timing of God, the tempo of grace. Amen? He just follows and He stops and talks to the woman, daughter. She's the first woman in the Bible, in the Gospels, Jesus calls daughter. He did refer to the daughter of Abraham who was loose, but the daughter of Abraham. But here's his daughter, he calls her. Why? She needed to have to know that this is a family blessing. When he says daughter, he's not treating her like he's a patron, a benefactor, right? A patron and benefactor, rather, all right? You know what I'm saying? You know, patron and benefactor, that I'll give you this gift, but I'm high and mighty, you are down there. No, family, daughter. Be of good comfort. Your faith made you well. I love Jesus. Amen. Then someone came from the house, Jairus' house. Whispered to Jairus, the daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master anymore. And immediately, when Jesus knew what the guy said, he told Jairus, don't be afraid. Fear not, only believe. And she shall be made whole. Put yourself in that situation. When you hear this, What's your response? Laugh in mockery? He'll put you out. You won't be able to join Jairus and he only brought Peter and James and John into the house. Amen. Peter, James, and John. Peter means stone. James, supplanter, replace. John is God's grace. The stone has been replaced by God's grace. The law has been replaced by God's grace. If it's the law, none of them can go in into the place of the dead. If it's by law, that woman, the issue of blood, cannot touch his garment. Cannot even be seen in public. It's not law. It's grace. Grace came down. Grace became a person. Amen? Praise the Lord. And he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Yeah! Hallelujah! Amen! Praise the Lord. This is our Lord Jesus. I tell you, all the heroes in the world, Marvel can come up with their latest heroes. I must mention DC also, right? Balance. DC can come up with their own, you know, hero and all kinds. And even the old heroes all changing to present heroes now. All right? The old hero don't know parquet already, okay? No more. We all the modern heroes. I'm not knocking any of them, but not all of them are fictitious. Yep. Don't hero worship them. Yep. I'm talking to the young people now, especially. There's one you can really worship. And he's real. And the hero, okay, at the most, right, even you want to take a picture with them, they'll have a hands, you know, that kind of attitude. Yeah, but you know, they have faults, they have failures. This one comes near you. He draws near you. He wants to hear your voice. Amen. He wants to see your face. He wants you to draw near to him. And the nearer you draw, you cannot find fault with him. Celebrities are afraid. You come near, you find, you know, you find fault with them. So they put a distance because it's easier to be put on a pedestal and no one see your fault. But Jesus is not like this. He lived day in and day out with his disciples. The more you come near, the more you see the perfections and the beauty of the man. Hallelujah! Praise the name of Jesus. Are you excited?